May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Grow up. We may be familiar with that expression. We may have said it to others. Maybe others have said it to us. It's not usually said in a very kind way, but rather in an irritated and dismissive way. You are being childish, selfish, immature about something. You need to grow up. Well, we may use that phrase, grow up, in a mean and irritated way, but the need to grow up is an important element in our Christian lives. Although we are encouraged as Christians to be childlike in our open trust of God our Father, we are not to be childish or immature. This morning we heard the opening section of the letter to the Colossians, which we will be reading over the next few Sundays. The central message of this letter is Christian maturity. Paul frequently encourages the Colossians to grow up. His desire is to present everyone mature in Christ. But Christian maturity is not just something the Colossians needed to hear about. It's very relevant to us here at St. Ursula's, and I hope these words will speak to us today. First, some very brief background to the letter to the Colossians. The church in the relatively small and unimportant town of Colossae was founded by Paul's fellow worker, Epaphras. Paul, who wrote his letter from prison, is concerned for the young church there, praying that they will grow in their faith in Christ and in Christian maturity. It seems there was various false teachings around which were influencing the Colossians, from legalistic Jewish rules to pagan philosophies. And they're warned against being taken captive by empty philosophy and human tradition, worshipping angels, dwelling on visions, and submitting to strict regulations of what they eat and touch. Instead, they are urged always to be centered on Christ. As one commentator points out, the church must look nowhere else for forgiveness for the past, maturity for the present, or for future hope. Paul is keen that they all grow up, and he prays earnestly for their Christian maturity. But he's not here just thinking of individual Christians growing in their faith, but about the whole body of Christ. The body, the church itself, is to grow in maturity, looking to Christ, who is the head. So, keeping in mind this call to Christian maturity, let's look at this opening section of the letter to the Colossians. And I want to draw out five themes. Firstly, thanksgiving. Paul, as he often does in his letters, begins by thanking God for the Colossians. The whole of this opening section of the letter is a prayer for the Colossians. But before he prays for anything else, he thanks God for them, as he does for all the churches he serves. And it remains crucial today for the leaders of churches to pray for their congregations, praying with thanksgiving. Last Sunday, many of you were here when James was ordained. And the words of the ordinal, which Bishop Allison read, included the phrase, "Remember always with thanksgiving that the treasure now to be entrusted to you is Christ's own flock. Remember now with thanksgiving that the treasure to be entrusted to you is Christ's own flock." Well, maybe sometimes church leaders may find it hard to be thankful for their congregations or to see them as a treasure. Of course, that is never true for me at St. Ursula's. But leaders are called not just to thank God for their congregations when things are going well, or thank God only for those people who are easy, but to pray with thanksgiving for the congregation, even when they are difficult, when there are crises or divisions. Paul also had his issues with his churches. Nevertheless, he gave thanks for them because he knew they were God's beloved people. He tried to see them as God saw them. And all church leaders, whether they're ordained leaders, whether leaders of house groups or children's groups or other groups, are called to pray for the people with thanksgiving. But thanksgiving isn't restricted just to the prayers of leaders. Thanksgiving is an important element of every Christian life. And we're never going to grow into maturity unless we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude towards God. We're encouraged to try to develop this discipline of thanksgiving even in painful times. Paul says in verses 11 and 12, "May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God the Father." Later in the letter, in chapter 3, the Colossians are told, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Thanksgiving is to colour all of our lives and become, as one person said, thanks living. Secondly, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love are important elements in the Christian life, of any Christian life. And Paul mentions them, all these three, in the initial verses. As he gives thanks for the Colossians, he gives thanks, verse 4, for their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. They've put their trust in Christ Jesus. This faith is now to lead them to have love for one another. And notice he speaks for love for all the saints. Saints here means all those called to follow Christ. It doesn't just mean those who are especially holy. Paul is not here talking about love as a nice, easy feeling, love for our families or those like us or people we get on with in church. This love is for all the saints, all God's people, even those we may find difficult. Our faith in Christ joins us together. We are one in Christ, even with those with whom we have little in common. We are to learn to love one another, even in our differences. We can't do this on our own. We need the Spirit to help us to love, as it says in verse 8. Now, of course, this Christian love, demonstrated in practical care and action rather than nice feelings, is not restricted to fellow Christians. Jesus calls us to love even our enemies. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan we heard this morning, it's the despised Samaritan who shows neighbourly love to the Jewish man who is beaten up and left for dead. So if we're to grow in Christian maturity, we need to grow in our faith in Christ and our practical love for all our fellow Christians, all the saints, and even for those we might be suspicious of or think of as our enemies. Faith, hope, and love. But notice here that Paul speaks of them in a different order. Faith, love, and hope. Just as the Colossians have faith in Christ and are trying to love their fellow Christians, they are also people of hope. The gospel they have received has taught them of the hope laid up in heaven. Verse 5. Christians are to be people of hope. Those who have confidence in the reality of the Christian hope, the resurrection hope, which we will enter into fully in heaven at the new creation. But at the same time, this robust Christian hope should affect our lives here and now. It gives us meaning and purpose, sustaining our faith and our love for others. If we are to grow as mature Christians, we need to be people of hope. And as such, we have much to offer to an often hopeless world. Thirdly, growth and bearing fruit. The Colossians have heard the gospel. It's come to them through the ministry of Epaphras. But they've not just heard it. It is bearing fruit and bringing growth. Indeed, Paul says, the gospel has been bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. Meaning, of course, the world that he knew in his day. In the centuries since then, the gospel has spread and borne fruit in more and more areas of the world. But this is not just about the gospel spreading to more and more geographical areas. It's about growth in maturity. Speaking to the Colossians, Paul says, "The gospel has been bearing fruit among yourselves." The growth and fruitfulness of the gospel of God's love in Christ is seen among them. Not just in the growth and fruitfulness of individual Christians, but in the fruitfulness of the whole body. Paul addresses them as "you" in the plural throughout. And where does this growth and fruitfulness come from? From Christ. We hear later in the letter, chapter 2, verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him." Think of a plant. The fruitfulness of a plant comes from deep roots. Christian growth and fruitfulness comes when we are rooted in Christ as individuals and as a Christian community. How can we be deeply rooted in Christ? Through prayer, through worship, reflecting on scripture, receiving communion, and learning together. Fourthly, spiritual wisdom and understanding. As Paul gives thanks for the Colossians, he also prays for them that they will be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, verse 9, that they might have a knowledge of God's will, and even more importantly, a knowledge of God himself. If we're to grow in Christian maturity, we need to know the God we worship. To learn more about his character, his ways, his purposes, and all that he has done in Christ. So an important element in our Christian discipleship is to listen to the scriptures, to take time to study and reflect, to ask questions, and to learn with others. We can do this in house groups and other study groups, as well as talks and sermons. There are many different opportunities here to learn about the faith and to grow in this way. So do ask if you would like to know more. But this understanding is not, of course, just about our minds. It's not simply an intellectual curiosity about the faith or the Bible. It is spiritual wisdom and understanding, a knowledge of the heart and the spirit. And it needs to affect the whole of our lives. The purpose of our knowledge of God's will and spiritual understanding is, verse 10, that we might lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as we bear fruit in every good work and as we grow in the knowledge of God. Our trust in God, our understanding of our faith in Christ needs to bear fruit in our ordinary daily lives, in concrete ways. That's what true Christian maturity is about. How does what we learn about God's love in Christ affect our relationships, our priorities, how we use our money, how we treat the environment? The more we understand of God's ways, the more we will seek to live in the way he wants us to, and this in turn will deepen our understanding of God. This is positive Christian growth. Finally, the centrality of Christ. The letter to the Colossians emphasizes throughout the centrality of Christ. And next Sunday we will hear the wonderful words of the next section of the letter, which speaks of Christ as the image of the invisible God. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. And in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God was uniquely present in Christ and has acted to reconcile to himself all things through the blood of his cross. And as we heard this morning, verse 13, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our Christian faith, our growth, our maturity is rooted in Christ and what God has done for us in him. So if we're going to grow in our faith as individuals and as a body, we need to remind ourselves again and again of what God has done for us in Christ and keep Christ as the centre of our lives and our worship. We are all called to grow up, to be mature in Christ, to be rooted in him, and to live and worship and bear fruit as his body. So let's pray for one another as Paul prayed for the Colossians, that we might live with thankfulness, grow in faith, love, and hope, learn more about God and his will with spiritual understanding, in order that we might bear fruit in our ordinary daily lives. And may we always keep Jesus Christ as the centre of our lives and our worship, as we joyfully give thanks to God, our Father. Amen.